Good morning. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Good morning. That's a little bit better. If you're here, raise your hand. I didn't think some of you was here, I thought. God's been good to us, amen. Loved us when nobody else did. Saved us when nobody else could. Let's sing a little bit. I love this computer stuff.
And someone's dreary mile. Do you greet the world with song as through life you pass along, cheering those whom you may meet along life's way?
Give the world a smile each day,
every day,
helping someone on life's way,
dreary way,
from the paths of sin.
Bring the wonders in
to the
with a smile.
Where's them smiles at? Come on, help us out now.
Well, you may be a shining light today,
yes, today.
Pointing souls to heaven's glory way. If you let your light so shine that they see the path divine, and you wear a pleasant smile along life's way.
Give the world a smile each day.
Bring the wonders in
to the master's fold to stay.
For every step to cheer the lone and sad, help to make some pilgrim glad.
Well, let your light so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with a smile.
Give the world a smile each day,
every day,
helping some of sin.
Bring the wonders in
to the master's fold to stay.
For every step to cheer the lone and sad, help to make some pilgrim glad.
Well, let your light so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with a smile. Let your light so be that all the world may
the prophet Isaiah heard God's voice asking, whom will I send? Who will go for us with a heavy burden? Isaiah cried to thee, here I am, Lord, use me.
Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me.
I want to be a servant for thee. And here I am, Lord, use me. Even today, God's voice still calls, and to his children to save the lost, he's calling your name, child. Will your answer be,
stormy sea. I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be.
Then when I come to that great eternity,
his smile will say he is satisfied with me.
To be in the Lord's house, and so you say amen. Oh, let's worship him today. Yes.
I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me?
Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold.
That I might stand unafraid
and move for thee. That he might be fully satisfied with me. I want my life to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be.
And when I come to that great eternity,
his smile will say he is satisfied with me.
Then when I come to that great eternity,
his smile will say he is satisfied. He is satisfied. He is satisfied with me.
so much. That ought to be our prayer every day. Lord, are you satisfied with me? Have I had a thought today or said a word or done a deed against your will? Then I have sinned. Lord, forgive me. And we do it every day. Amen. God loves you no matter where you've been or what you've done. He loves you. Joy to be here with you. Got the guys up early and carried them by the funeral home, got them dressed. And
they do a good job.
Yeah. And it's a joy and pleasure to be here with y'all today. If you love the Lord, say amen. I don't know what this world's so quiet about nowadays. Amen. They get excited over everything but Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. The most troubled times this world's ever seen. I pray every night for revival, preacher. I really do, because our nation needs it so bad. We've grown so wicked and so far away from God's will. But you know, it says in his word, if you would fall to your knees and humble yourself, confess your sins, then we'll hear from heaven. And God will bless our nation again. We need that blessing, amen? We need it. So let's pray for revival every night. It's a joy to be here with you this morning.
I live each day in victory because of the one who lives in me. I found every promise he ever made. Jesus will keep. Walk by my side in desert strife. Love me and helps me when I cry. So let me sing you one more song in case I leave.
I know how I
by God's amazing grace. Steps that are slower down have taken each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shore, I'll lift my trembling voice once more. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace.
Children are leaving one by one, passing this way and going home. Signs of the times reveal we don't have very long.
But each one that stands upon that shore, waving goodbye as they rejoice. Glory to God will lead. Is singing that same sweet song.
I know how I made it. I
made it by God's amazing grace. Steps that are slower now have taken each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shore, I'll lift my trembling voice once more. I know how I made it. I know how I made it.
I made it by
God's amazing grace. Steps that are slower now have taken each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's storm, I'll lift my trembling voice once more. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace.
Amen.
We enjoy the old Southern style gospel music. That's all we've ever sung. Be truth with you, I ain't got enough sense to learn anything else. Amen? So we're going to stick right with this old Southern gospel music. Used to have them Sunday afternoon singings. Remember that? You would preach and have dinner on the ground, and everybody come in there about 2 o'clock, and for about a couple hours, they'd sing gospel music. Some of the best you ever heard. We can't have them no more. Too many Walmarts. Ouch. Too many shopping centers. Ouch. Too many movie theaters. But we'd like to go back and I heard that. You thought I didn't, but I heard that. Long ways back home for you to walk.
I tell you. Wait just a moment. We're having difficulties this morning. Turn the PA on. We had some issues. And just, we get through it.
Need my mother-in-law. She knows everything.
Yeah, well.
She could fix it. What are you doing?
There wasn't no woman let you marry her.
Oh, putting batteries in there. You can go ahead and sing.
Well,
all these, now their two mics have got the best batteries you can find. Mine's got one that came from Harbor Freight. And I know why they're cheap. Here's a little Sunday afternoon convention song. You sing along with us if you want to. Get this chorus. I get plumb excited. I'm liable to take a lap on you, but I like this. Listen now.
Thank you.
got time to do about one more, and then we'll come back after a while and do a couple more songs for you. Are you still having a good time? Amen. Turn around and smile at somebody. See, I don't know what everybody else is laughing at. I like your hair like that. Hush, boy. We're going to, it's our job to wake y'all up before the preacher gets here. So it's our job to get y'all woke up right quick for the preacher to get here. Here's an old Sunday afternoon convention song that we used to sing at them Sunday afternoon singings, and it gets up and leaves from here. I put enough pilot grip in this morning, we're going to sing it. Amen? And I hope you'll enjoy it, all right? And just get along with us. Clap your hands, pat your foot, pat your neighbor's foot. I don't care. Just go ahead and enjoy yourself. And let's worship the Lord. Now, this thing gets up and leaves from here, so let's enjoy it. All right, come on now.
Well, I've told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to each tear and each sigh. This world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for that land in the sky. I walk and I talk with my Lord, feast every day on His word. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. Gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Well, I won't have the blues anymore when I step across to that shore. And I'll never pine, for I'll leave behind my heartaches and tears evermore. A day maybe to the goodbye. Goodbye to each tear and each sigh. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. Gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground, I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly, gonna ride with my Lord through the sky, heaven is near and I can't stay here, goodbye world, goodbye world, goodbye.
Y'all give him another hand. It was a debate on whether to let them sing the whole service, and I wanted to, but I tell you, I think that we always need God's word when we gather together, and so that's why we're bringing a message this morning, and I just appreciate so much the Pioneers. Glad to have them back. Y'all give them a big hand. I thank Brother Bruce for getting y'all fired up there and talking about revival, too. You know, this is the time of year that we should be concentrating on revival, thinking about revival when we think about Christmas. And I want to talk to us today about, go ahead, and I want to talk to us today about preparing for Christmas. And I preached this message from this text several times in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Today, I'm just going to have one slide up if you're listening online, because I just want to walk through this text and let's think about how important this is for us, except for I spelt four wrong. So I was in a hurry and I had a lot going on in my office. And so that is four if you're looking at that online. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to talk about preparing for Christmas. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, we come before you today, Lord, and I just thank you for the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blessings that we have in participating in your plan for us. Lord, I thank you that you include us in your plans and help us prepare others. Prepare others for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare others for the joy and the gladness that's associated with celebrating the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, and the anticipated return of our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that today we'll all get in the Christmas spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at Luke's gospel, I want you to remember here, I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but the first four verses, it tells us why or the reason and the method and the purpose of Luke writing this. Now, Luke wrote his gospel and Acts. It's like volume one and volume two because it all wouldn't fit on one parchment back then. So as he writes this, we see that he is writing it so that we can know how the history was true, or the validity of this history. So he's putting his stamp on the historical validity of our faith. In other words, this is what we believe. I guess you believe the Bible. Amen? He says, so he's writing this so that we can know, and his method is both historical and theological. So he's telling you actual events that took place, but he's also giving you the theological reasons, meaning theo, God, ology, knowledge, the knowledge of God, what's going on. Guess what? The Bible history is God's story. It's his story. And that's what he's telling us here. And he's doing this so that we'll know the exact truth about our faith. So guess what? The things that we believe in about Jesus are true. They really happen. Guess what? Nobody debates whether or not Jesus was born, whether or not Jesus was crucified. What they debate is, was he the Son of God and did he really get up out of the grave? So Christ was really born. He really lived. He really ministered. He really died for our sins. He was buried and he was resurrected. Now, when we come to this time of year, we come into Christmas, and it's, I think, 19 days and 13 hours or something like that till Christmas. It's not long off, and I guess y'all are getting ready for Christmas. Is that right? And if not, Christmas is coming anyway, right? Well, sometimes I think when we come up with a story like this, you're so used to hearing this story about John the Baptist that we think, well, the preacher's just going to tell us about Christmas again. Well, I want to tell you why this story's in the Bible. Because it's just as important today for us as it was 2,000 years ago when it happened. See, it says here in verse 5, it says, in the days of Herod the king of Judea, it was darkness everywhere. You say, well, I didn't see that word darkness. No, that's because we hadn't read the rest of the Bible, and I don't have time to read you all the other chapters up to here, okay? Here's what happened. Herod is not even in the line of Judah. Herod is not even a Jew. He's an Edomite. He's a descendant of Esau, who's always against the Jews. But he married a Jewish lady from the tribe of Levi, who doesn't have anything to do with kings, so that he could have a little prestige, and the Roman government put him in charge over Judea as king. So he's not even a king. If you remember, he tries to kill all the babies that are under 2 years old because he knows that Christ, the king of Judah, is coming to take his place. People are putting their babies outside, just laying them outside to get rid of them. In the past, they had sacrificed their children to pagan gods. They was laying children out because it wasn't benefiting them that it would be born. Hey, times was dark. Life didn't have much value. Same thing's happening today. Do you know since 1973, over 62 million babies have been aborted. Over half the pregnancies in the United States are unwanted, and 40% end up in abortion. Do you think that laws that they are hearing at the Supreme Court now matter? Yes, they matter. You know why they matter? Because life matters to God. God is the giver of life. Now, I'm not getting political here on this. I just want you to understand that when we come to Christmas every year, it's not something that we're reading about an old story. We're reading about a story that had historical significance, but is still relevant to us today. Now, here's what happens. When John the Baptist is coming and his father is going and doing his priestly duty, and he gets chosen to take the incense of the prayers into the holy place. When he goes into this holy place, he's separated from the Holy of Holies by a veil. The veil of the Holy of Holies. Just like we're separated from God because of sin. God is holy. Sin separates us. But once a year, these priests got chosen for their duty, and they would execute that duty twice in that year. Well, once in a lifetime, because there was 24 divisions of priests, a priest would get chosen by lots, and if in his lifetime, if he lived long enough, he might get chosen to take the incense into the holy place. So this was a once in a lifetime opportunity for Zacharias. Now, as we think about this, let's look at this text and see what it says. It says, in the days of Herod, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So life's pretty good. You got two descendants from the tribe of Levi. You got Zacharias. He is a priest. He's married a lady that her father was a priest. So, I mean, he's in pretty good shape. But then it says here how they conducted their life. It says that they were both righteous in the sight of God. Now, righteous in the Bible can be imputed righteousness. When Christ died for us, if we believe in Him and ask for His forgiveness, accept His salvation on the cross, we get what is called imputed righteousness. That would be like me going and putting money in Mona's bank account, or she going and putting money in my bank account. It is accredited to us. That is Jesus's righteousness to us. Then there's the righteousness that we have in ourselves. Guess what? We're not all right like Jesus. When we get saved, we are declared righteous by God. But we can live right by having the right actions. But by living the way God wants us to. It says here that in God's sight, in other words, God's looking down at them, God sees them, and it says that they are righteous in the sight of God. They're walking. This word walking means the way you behave, the way you live, blamelessly or innocent in His commandments. In other words, I don't always do what I'm supposed to do, but I try to do what this says more than I don't. Does that make sense? You got a standard in life. I was hearing an argument the other day, and the two sides on TV, but two different worldviews and two different religions, and they was going at each other, and I realized the problem is they don't have one standard definition for truth. That's God's Word. They was arguing about two different things that didn't matter, and none of them coincide with reality that we got to live in. Here it says that, hey, guess what? They're living right, they're blameless, they're walking right before God, meaning their thoughts and their beliefs are correct before God, but also their actions. They try to act like God wants them to. Now, this does not mean they are sinless. How many of y'all sinless? Good. I was afraid I had to preach on pride. The reason Luke puts this here is so we'll understand the next verse. It said, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So here's the problem. This should be the happiest day of his life. The world around him is dark, but God's still in control. he's doing his duty, but there's some disgrace because of the customs. In other words, the Jewish belief was if you're without children, it's because you've done something wrong and God is punishing you. So Luke wants us to know, guess what? God's not punishing Zacharias and Elizabeth because why? They're walking rightly before God. It's because God's plan has not completely unfolded. When we prepare for Christmas, we need to pray and we need to participate in the part of God's plan we understand. How many of y'all know everything God wants you to do? Y'all real honest this morning. You taught them good about that raising hand, didn't you? Think about this. When you don't know what God wants you to do next, keep doing what you've been doing and what you understand about God's plan for your life right then. And pray. And then proclaim to other people or prepare other people to be in God's plan also. This is what we see happens here. So Zacharias don't know exactly what to do, but he keeps doing what he's doing. And it says that it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of his priestly office, he was chosen by lot. In other words, and I'm not endorsing gambling here, okay? But this was like rolling dice. It was God's choice. It wasn't karma. It wasn't chance. Guess what? They had been praying for a child. And God was going to give them a child, but in God's time. Did y'all know that we're not on God's time, that God's not on our timetable, that we're on God's timetable? Did you know that God already knew when he was going to give Zacharias and Elizabeth this child? Did you know that God already knew that he was going to reveal it to him in the holy place in Jerusalem in this year that he had been chosen to go up there? You know, when we pray, sometimes we get upset because God don't answer our prayers right away. Do you know that sometimes God has already got our prayer answered? We just hadn't got there yet, the word said. And we have to remember that. And that's hard to do. When our finances are tough, when sickness is tough, when we lose loved ones, when things are not going like we had planned. I mean, every year throughout the year, life doesn't turn out exactly like we planned. And we have to learn to pray. We have to learn to continue doing what we know God wants us to do. And then we also, when God answers our prayers, we want to tell other people how God's answered our prayer. One of my favorite songs lately, I mean, it's an older song, but we heard it here a while back at this church, and I've been playing it over and over in my car on Sunday mornings coming to church. And it's about when you're on your knees praying, and it don't seem that God is answering. And Jesus says, "Didn't I walk on the water?" He says, the next time you don't, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's saying, the next time you don't think I'm answering your prayer, look where you come from and look how far behind your problems are. So he is chosen by lot to go in and to the temple and burn incense. Now, burning incense is the idea, and we see it in Revelation 2, and we've seen it in the Old Testament, that incense was to give a sweet aroma to the prayers of the people as the prayers went up to God. Also, the smoke from the incense was to symbolize the presence of God as you prayed. So it says here that he went in to pray, and as he entered the temple to burn the incense, the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now, they burn incense in the morning with the morning's prayer and at night with the night prayers. So the people are outside praying. Now, I believe that what they're praying for here is the Messiah to come. It says here, he put in here, Herod was king of Judea. Herod was king. It was dark times. Rome was in control. God had brought the people back from exile. He had told them what to do. Instead, they trusted in Rome. They made alliances with everybody. Short version, God hadn't spoke to them in 400 years. And he's in the holy place and he's giving these prayers. So there's two priests outside. They mix up these hot coals. They put it in the pan. He takes them in. He puts them on the altar of the incense. He takes the incense. He puts it on it. Smoke goes up. And I believe as the smoke was clearing here, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and was standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. And it says here that Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel and fear gripped him. It literally says fear fell on him. Fear fell on him so heavy it knocked him down to his knees, just like Daniel. Same angel. When Daniel didn't understand the prophecy of God, the vision he had had, Gabriel was sent to Daniel in chapter 9 of Daniel. And when Gabriel showed up, it said that fear fell upon Daniel and knocked him down. And what did Gabriel say? Fear not. Dr. Jeffrey says, I believe old Gabriel got tired of telling everybody, fear not. Every time he showed up, everybody got afraid. Well, you need to be afraid when the angel of the Lord shows up. Guess what? The angel of the Lord don't look like those on Hallmark Channel. And there's two angels in the Bible that we know of by name, Michael, who is the defender and the protector of God's people, Israel. And there's Gabriel, the messenger of God that brings a message from God when God is unfolding his plan to other people. Now, here's what's going on in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it says, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their transgression, to make an end to sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you will know and discern that from the issuing of this decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks or 49 years and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in the times of distress. Now, what this is saying, and what the people should have been understanding in this time in their life, 483 years from the time that the decree went out for Nehemiah and Ezra to rebuild the walls of the city. So there was 7 times 7, there's 49 years it took them to do that. And then 69 years after that, or 7 times 69 years, this would have been right at this time period. I don't have time to preach all of Daniel. But as the time from the decree of Artaxerxes, it was either his first decree or second decree. So it was either to the time that Jesus is baptized or to the time that Jesus made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They should be anticipating the Messiah, God's promised king to come and reestablish God's kingdom and do away with all the oppression that they were suffering from the Roman emperor and from Herod the king. They're waiting for the Messiah, and he takes these prayers in, and Gabriel shows up, tells him not to be afraid, and the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your petition has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. John means God is gracious. You'll name him, so you're going to have a son. So when he says your petition's been heard, it is Zacharias' personal prayer for him and his family, and it's a national prayer also that he has taken in for the people. Sometimes, you know, we need to be praying for ourselves, but we need to be praying for the well-being of God's kingdom also. Now, fear gripped him, so I just want, as you preparing for Christmas, I want you to think about three things that happens here. When fear grabs us, three things that could happen to Zacharias can happen to us. We either fear that God doesn't hear us. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me I'm praying and I don't think my prayers get above the ceiling. Now, Brother Bruce talked about that a while ago. God can't hear the prayers of sinners, right, except for the sinner's prayer to be saved. And then after we're saved, we can do things in our life, like be bitter at our wife, according to 1 Peter. Y'all hear that, men, right? y'all know that that could hinder your prayers? We can have sin in our life. We might need to confess that. But if we are living right with God the best that we can in the situation that we are at, God hears our prayers. But often we think God hadn't heard our prayers. Zacharias is old. His wife has seen many sunsets with him, he says. We sit on the porch, watch the sun go down, watch the sun come up. It's been a long time. I've been praying for this a long time. We've got our disgrace here. You know, everybody thinks that we've done something wrong, Lord. I've done everything you want me to. I've followed you. And look, Lord, everybody still thinks that we've done something wrong. Have you even heard my prayers? We either think that God doesn't hear our prayers, or we think that our requests are impossible for God to answer. So we think, well, I know God could fix that, but I need this or I need that. If I had a better job, if I had a better home, if I had this, I had this. You ever been there? We come up with all these ways that we think we can fix our problems, and we think it's impossible for God to solve our problems. This seemed impossible. But for Zacharias, he should have known that Sarah and Hannah both, in their old age, had children according to God's plan in his plan of salvation. And lastly, another thing we fear is that God just don't keep his promises. Now, as Christians, we don't like to admit that, do we? Guess what? Every promise in the Bible is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God still keeps his promises to us. He's still fulfilling his plan to us. So we don't have to be afraid when God's not working on our timetable. Here, he tells him that you will have a son. Your prayers will be answered. So I want to run through some characteristics right quick of John the Baptist. These are six characteristics that his son will have. And these are characteristics that we should have when God is answering our prayers. First, he says you will have joy and gladness. You'll give him the name John. Verse 14 says you'll have joy and gladness. Guess what? Many will rejoice at John's birth. And we see this in verse 58. When Elizabeth gives birth, all the neighbors that were saying, what have you done wrong for God not to give you no children? They show up at her house and they just praising her. And they rejoice, and look what God's done for you. When we have answered prayer, it should cause us joy. It should bring gladness to us. We should tell other people so they celebrate with us. We live in a culture now that we want to tell everybody what's wrong instead of what God's doing right. Amen? We need to, if you want people to know that God answers prayer, look back in the past and tell them these prayers that has been answered. It says also, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He understood his role. It says, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And it says here, he'll not drink wine or liquor. Now, every mama's probably happy about that, right? But guess what? The Bible doesn't say that drinking wine and liquor sends you to hell. What he's talking about here is that when God called somebody to do something special, like this Nazarite vow, they vowed not to drink wine or liquor, or vowed not to be in contact with a dead body. Sometimes this was for a certain period of time. Sometimes it's for a lifetime. Here's the point I want you to get out of this. When God answers your prayer, chances are there's something in your life you need to give up to fully enjoy that answered prayer. Let me say that again. When God calls you into his plan, there's something you usually need to give up. Is anything in your life more important than Jesus? That's the question we have to ask. I'm going to give you a personal illustration for that in a minute, but let me get on to this next one. He'll not drink wine. You got to give up something. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Can you imagine? Do you remember the life you lived before you got saved? Then you get saved and you get indwelt with the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit puts a lead rope on me and keeps me in check, right? I get out there too far, he pulls me back, right? The Holy Spirit gives me understanding of God's Word. Can you imagine from your birth up being filled with the Holy Spirit all your life? That's one of the reasons of this vow. Paul says not to be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or not be controlled by wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to control his life, his whole life. When God answers our prayers, that's when we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction and the Holy Spirit's guidance in all that we do. And it says here that he will bring many people back to the Lord. He will turn away or turn many of the sons of Israel back to their God. God will use answered prayer like John the Baptist. He's the forerunner according to Isaiah and according to Malachi. He's the forerunner of Christ, and he will turn people back to God. He'll prepare them. He'll get them ready to meet Jesus Christ. And then lastly, he will go before the Lord. It says he'll go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers back to the children and the disobedient to an attitude of righteousness so that he can make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Malachi ends the Old Testament prophets until John the Baptist by being silent, God not speaking. And he says that when the forerunner comes before the Messiah comes, he will turn fathers' hearts back to children, children's hearts back to fathers. He's talking about a time of getting ready for the Lord. He's talking about a time of reconciliation. Let me ask you, isn't Christmas the best time of year to think about reconciliation? Does it surprise you how many families have people that don't speak to each other? Does it surprise you how many church members sometimes often don't speak to each other because something's happened in the past? When God answers our prayers and lets us in on his plan and let us be part of preparing other people for the coming of Christmas, shouldn't we be reconciled to one another as believers? And shouldn't we reconcile our differences with family members? As we see this, that Zechariah's prayer has been answered, Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this for certain?" Here's what happens when we get answered prayer. Sometimes we just don't believe it. We know what we ought to do, but we just don't know if it's going to work out. See, his question is not like Mary's. Mary just asked, "How can this be?" In other words, what do I need to do? I've not known a man. How can I be pregnant? Because the way I understand the world works and the way I understand what I need to do, I don't know what to do next. That's Mary's question. Zacharias' question is, how can I know? I need a sign. I need a show me. I tell you what, go ahead and put the money in the bank, and then I'll start writing the checks. It's what he's saying. He says, how can I know this? I need a sign. And here's what he says. Look, I'm old, and my wife is advanced in years. Probably the smartest thing he ever did was not call his wife old here, right? He said, she's advanced in years. She's seen a lot of sons go down, is what he's saying. She's mature. And then listen to how Gabriel answered him. So Zechariah says, I'm old. Gabriel says to him, I'm Gabriel. Gabriel says, you're old. I'm older than dirt. I was created at the beginning of creation. I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to you with a message from God. And then he tells him, behold, you want a sign? Here's your sign. You'll be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their proper time. The people were waiting for Zacharias and was wondering at the delay in the temple, but when he come out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when the days of his priestly service, he stayed the rest of the week, it ended, he went back home. And it says after these days, the 8 days that he stayed on, he went back and Elizabeth, his wife, become pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion as the custom was for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." She's like, my prayers have been answered. You know what Elizabeth's name was? God is my oath. Or by God I have sworn. Zacharias' name was God remembers. But he'd forgot that God remembers him. You know, when he says, I need a sign, you know what I think Gabriel was saying? Guess what? God's never early. God's never in a hurry. And God's never late. He answers prayers on his own time. This week, I was just reminded of something that happened about 18 years ago, almost to today. I was debating whether to go into ministry or not. I knew the Lord wanted me in ministry, but I didn't know how to do it or what to do. And I had all these things going on, and my truck got stole. And Aunt Mildred, we saw her family members the other week at a funeral. But Aunt Mildred called me because she'd been telling me the Lord wanted me in ministry. And when I answered the phone that morning at 5:30, I was waiting for the police to get there. And I was in Dallas, Texas, and all because she'd asked me over and over when you was going to come back home and go into ministry. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what God wants me to do. I just got this truck. When I figure out how all this works, I will. So she calls me up, and I say, hello. And she says, well, the Lord got rid of that truck, so you can come home now, and hung up. That was it. Just hung up on me. That's Aunt Mildred. Well, I didn't think much about it because I told that story a lot, and I'd had some people ask me, did the reason you get out of the trucking business because your truck got stole? Well, no, but it was a big part of the Lord giving me answers to my prayers. Because guess what? Basically, the truck was in better shape afterwards because they rebuilt the whole truck. I mean, it got stripped. There's nothing left. So the truck was newer 8 days or 9 days later when Peterbilt got through putting it back together than it was before. But you know what? It took 6 more months for me to see what the Lord wanted me to do. But you know, with that truck getting gone, what I realized, it wasn't just the truck I trusted in. Because I'll never forget going through Paul's Valley, Oklahoma one time on a Sunday morning, and it was real early. The sun was coming up. And I seen the silhouette of the truck over there, the stacks, the heat. I love trucks. I just do, right? And I'm looking, and I was like, I can't believe I'm getting to do something I enjoy this much. And God's let me do it, and I'm getting paid to do this. You know, so I was like, do you get rid of the truck, or do I preach at truck stops? What do I do? You know, I kept thinking about how the truck was gone that the Lord gave me. The truck come back. The Lord gave me the truck back. I still got a choice to do what I wanted to do. What I didn't realize was everything I had was a gift from God. It took me 6 months to realize that I had to quit trusting in everything I had and give it all to God before I was ready. And I say this not to say something about myself, but to say how gracious God is to us. Somebody called me Friday, and they're going through one of the worst times they could with their job and Christmas coming. And they like, well, what about that sign? I know the Lord gave you a sign about that truck. What kind of sign is God going to give me? I said, the truck want a sign. I said, here's where you need to trust God and not worry about a sign. See, if you trust in your job or your home or your retirement plan more than you trust in God, you're not ready to get God's answered prayer in your life. As we come to this time of year, I want you to look back in your life at the answered prayers that you've had. In times of doubt, in times of sickness, in times of loss, in times of hurt, in times when your family's just dysfunctional and no one's getting along. And look how God answered that prayer. And then I want you to share it with somebody this Christmas. You know, this whole passage is centered around prayer. And it's centered around the idea that the Messiah was coming after the 7 and the 62 weeks. Or if you put it another way, after the 483 years. But then that 70th week, that 70, it's a gap there. In the Old Testament, when the prophets was looking and speaking, they could see like two mountaintops, but they didn't a lot of times see the valley between them. There was a space of time between Christ being born, living and dying for our sins, being resurrected and ascending back to heaven, and his return. That's the time that we're living in now. Just as the people was praying, expecting Jesus to come for the first advent, we need to be praying for Christ's return. Just as these people were preparing people for Jesus' birth, as John the Baptist was, as God used Zacharias and Elizabeth, we need to be willing for God to use us to help prepare people for Jesus' return. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. The life that we live on this earth, the quality of this life depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ while we're here. A lot of times when people call me and they think that it's the world's fault, they're not happy. The problem is they don't know the grace of God. They don't remember that God is bigger than their problems. And they don't remember that God still answers prayer. God's never early. He's never in a hurry. And he's never late. He will answer your prayers. Let us pray. If you're here today and you've never understood or know the joy that's associated with Christmas, it just seems like a busy time of year to you and a time of giving and getting gifts and having to go buy stuff that'll make other people happy. I just asked you right now how your relationship is with Jesus. Is he truly all you need this Christmas? If there was no dinners, no family gatherings, no Christmas tree, and no presents, is Jesus enough? Do you know him as your personal Savior, as your sustainer, your redeemer, as the one who makes you complete? If you know you've not been living life the way God wants you to, and you say, I just never surrendered to God, I've never surrendered to Jesus, it's this simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you was born of a virgin, lived sinless, died for my sins, was buried and raised. Because you were raised and have life, I believe you can give me a new life. Please forgive me. If you prayed that, raise your right hand. If you're here and you're a Christian and this is just another time of busyness, that as Christmas gets closer, we get busy. I'll ask you right now, will you continue to participate in God's plan? I know this time of year, it's easy to say, well, I can't go to church this Sunday because I got to cook, or I can't go to church this Sunday because we're going to have that get-together this evening. This is the time of year that we should want to gather with God's people in God's presence and invite others to join us. Invite someone to join you to worship God, just like you invite them to your house for a meal. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Lord, we have prayer. We thank you for the power of prayer, that, Lord, you are bigger than our problems, that you answer our prayers, that you take care of us. And, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that each of us can remember answered prayer. Remember the condition we was in, how you answered that prayer, and Lord, how we used the blessings of that prayer. May we forever use answered prayer to bring you glory and to point other people to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, the
holiday season always brings me into a place of memories. I'm fortunate enough, I still live on the hillside over there where we were raised. I live across the hill. Grandma's house is over there. I can see it. Just like I was living there yesterday. And I had to sneak over every once in a while and get on my tiptoes and look in the window. What memories. There's no laughter left in the hallway and no footsteps on the floor. Grandma's in heaven now. And knowing her the way I know my grandma, God's had to run her away from them gates every day. Lord, when they're coming? When you going to send my loved ones home? Well, I'm going to tell you what, one of these days it's not going to be long. God's going to step up the gate and say, honey, they're coming. My church is coming home. I got a lot of loved ones over there just like you do. And I want to see them. And I can't help but think it's not going to be long at all. That God will step up that gate where Grandma stands and say, honey, we've waited long enough. I'm bringing my church. Grandma used to get in there on Sunday morning and cooking around that old wood stove and singing songs. What memories. What a friend we have in Jesus. Rock of Ages cleft for me. And she always sung this next song, and I never have got over it. I ain't going to get over it. I'm going to hear her sing it again. I hope it'll bring back some memories to you all today. Listen.
Never fade.
Hallelujah. It's been a joy to be here with y'all today. You've made us feel so much at home, and we appreciate it. We'll do a couple of more songs right quick, if you'll let us. We appreciate it. I was talking about Christmas memories. I remember one year I got a Superman cape. Boy, I was riding high. I got up in the barn loft, jumped off, broke my arm. I should have known you had to have the pants too, amen? But I didn't know that. Oh, boy. You kind of lop-lotted around all morning and just took it easy. You need to work a little bit. When's a good time to praise the Lord? Every day is a good day to praise the Lord. This is going to work the old little man here a little bit, and I hope you'll enjoy it. If you're from the city, what you're about to see is perspiration. We're from the country. That boy's going to sweat as sure as the world. But listen, it's an old Lefevre song from 1948. And I want you to listen about when's the best time to praise the Lord.
I have a happy song to sing today, for my burdens have been rolled away.
When at the foot of the cross I knelt, it was there the peace of God I felt.
Something happened that I can't explain, from the day I've
never been the same. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord.
That the world cannot know.
A new hope.
A new hope that will never expire.
A new faith.
A new faith that was tried in the fire.
A new love.
A new love since a wonderful hour.
A new life.
A new life filled with glory and power. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord.
Since the Spirit came into my soul, the hallelujahs like a flood did roll.
The Holy Ghost like a flame and fire blazed within my heart a new desire.
Now I tell it everywhere I go that His blood washes white as snow.
And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord.
I found a new joy.
A new joy that's thrilling my soul.
A new peace.
A new peace that the world cannot know.
A new hope.
A new hope that will never expire.
A new faith.
A new faith that was tried in the fire.
A new love,
a new love since a wonderful hour.
A new life.
A new life filled with glory and power.
And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord. I found a new joy that's thrilling my soul. A new peace that the world cannot know. A new hope that will never expire. A new faith that was tried in the fire. A new love since a wonderful hour. A new life filled with glory and power. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord. That the world cannot know. A new hope that will never expire. A new day that was tried in the fire. A new love since a wonderful hour. A new life filled with glory and power. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day. And it's a marvelous, glorious, wonderful day to serve the Lord.
Do Beautiful Land, so we'll just sing that one for you, and then we'll go toward the house, all right? I got tickled. I was talking about memories. We had the opportunity to do several programs with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps a while back before he passed away, and he was telling me about the night before they had been in Atlanta, Georgia, and said they came out of the auditorium, the little guy was on the corner selling newspapers. Said he came up to J.D. and he said, Sir, buy a paper.
Get away, boy. I don't want no paper.
Little kid looked at him and said, come on, buy a paper.
J.D. said, I don't want no paper.
He said, sir, I only have one paper left. Would you buy it? J.D. said, I can't even read. Said the little boy looked at him and said, well, why don't you buy one and carry it around so people think you can read? Amen? We had a request for this thing, and again, I want to thank y'all for letting us come. We've enjoyed it so much. Pray for us, would you?
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before.
Amen. The theme of Luke's gospel is that Jesus came to seek the lost and to save them so he could carry them home. And that's what Christmas is about. You know, I always think Isaiah 59 said that God was displeased because he looked down and saw that there was none righteous to intercede. And then it says, with his own arms, he stretched out to bring them to him. He sent the Lord Jesus to live the life we should have lived, die the death we deserved, just so we can spend Christmas
with God our Father. Let us pray. Father, I pray that we don't forget the sacrifice made so that we can enjoy peace with you. That all our joy is bound up in our relationship with Christ. And Lord, may we also remember that this old earth is not as good as it gets. That you are going to call us home one day. And we're going to stand in the living room of heaven. Gather around your throne. And we'll never have a day without a song of praise to sing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank y'all for being.
We've got CDs. If anybody would like to have one, you get to listen to us all week and not have to feed us. Amen? So if you'd like to have one, just let one of us know. They're 1 for $10 or 3 for $20. Is that right? 3 for $20, right?